Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. First, I want to thank all of our listeners to the podcast. We're making a change. It's a good change. We're going to focus more on the ability to go deeper into a narrower focus. What do I mean by that? I want to pick really important topics, challenges that we all face every day in life and work, and I want to dive deep in a narrow way so that we can have some practical ways to look at, discover, explore these challenges, but then use science-backed, proven methodologies and practices to help us really get to a point of having a path forward. There are so many areas of challenge in life. And again, whether it's your personal life, your professional life, maybe you're a leader, maybe you're own an organization, maybe you own an organization and you're trying to figure out how do we move forward in these areas. We're having some specific challenges here or there. That's what I want this to be about. And this first area of focus is one that I'm very passionate about because I see so many organizations that have so much potential, but they're never going to be able to unlock the potential in their people, in their teams, in their leaders, and in the entire organization until they figure out how to create a culture of constructive feedback. What do I mean by that? That is a culture where feedback is seen as a gift and people ask for feedback. Feedback is communication for a purpose, but the way that you give feedback is critically important. And unfortunately, most organizations that I see don't have the optimal feedback culture in place. And that means that their feedback either doesn't happen, which is a shame. I think the last numbers I saw off the Gallup poll said something like 68% of employees never get any feedback. And that's a crime because there is so much good that can come out of a feedback process. Or people are getting feedback and it's just criticism. It's just negative. And that is communicating for a purpose, but it really doesn't take you anywhere. It doesn't improve things. It doesn't really help somebody understand how to do something better. They just feel judged. And we want to get away from that. So the challenge here is really when we dig underneath what feedback is, the fear and avoidance of feedback. That's the challenge. That's what people are dealing with. And the fact that people don't know how to build a culture of constructive feedback. As a matter of fact, at the end, I'm going to share with you our brand new ebook. It's a free download that you can get through us that talks about building a culture of constructive feedback. And simply, if you want to go to info, email us at info@eqfit.org. You can ask for that ebook on building a culture of constructive feedback. I'll also be putting things on social media where you can download that. Why do I feel this is so important? Because I feel so many organizations are missing the boat when it comes to unlocking the unrealized potential in their people, in their teams, in their leaders. So let's dive into this. Feedback is a powerful tool for growth, both for individuals and for organizations, but in many places it's feared, it's avoided, or it's given in ways that create frustration rather than improvement. So let me give you a great way to see if the feedback you're giving and getting is constructive or destructive. If you feel any of the following emotions, fear, frustration, or judgment, or others feel that when you give them feedback, then that's the wrong kind of feedback. And I know you can say as a leader, well, that's not my problem. Well, yeah, it really is, because the way you show up for people is going to determine the outcome you get. If you give better feedback, you're going to get better outcomes. Employees hesitate to provide honest input to their managers or leaders. Leaders struggle to offer feedback that inspires rather than discourages people. Teams suffer from misunderstandings and unspoken concerns that undermine collaboration. There's something really important here. There's a principle. Actually, I'm going to give you a couple of principles that I use to ensure that we're building a culture of constructive feedback. Number one principle, assume positive intent. When we assume positive intent from somebody else, then we can get away from all of the garbage, all of the worry, all of the anxiety, all of the fear that, are they trying to backstab me? Are they trying to sabotage this? What do they really want? What is their agenda? If we can all practice assuming positive intent, it is like rocket fuel to moving things forward faster. But that's a very, very important principle. Here's another principle that I like to use when I talk about feedback. And that is, when you're in a situation where you're giving feedback, don't assume the other person understands it the same way that you do. Now, I slowed down there for a purpose. Think about what I'm saying. We all know we shouldn't assume. We all know that. We learned that in high school and on. But I really want you to think about this. Don't assume that somebody else understands something the same way that you understand it. They may understand what you're saying. They may understand what you're trying to accomplish, at least at some level, but they may not have a full understanding the same way that you do. And this is simply a clarity of communication issue. The better we can communicate the how, the why, the what, all of those things involved with what we're trying to accomplish, fix, or avoid, that's going to help the other person understand the same way you do. Then you get on the same page with them and you move forward in a much more productive fashion. So I share those principles because they are embedded in the work that I do when I help organizations build a culture of constructive feedback. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Why do we even put the effort into doing that? Well, hang on for just a minute. We'll get there. So why does all this happen? Well, because feedback is often associated with criticism rather than opportunity. I think that's an interesting differentiation. And I think you know it's true. We see it around us all the time. Many people have experienced feedback that felt like an attack rather than a tool for learning. And that's really what feedback should be. Here's another filter. If you look at feedback as providing someone a learning opportunity, whether it is you giving feedback to somebody else or them giving feedback to you, if you put it in the context of a learning opportunity, it's going to go so much better. They're going to receive it so much better. But you can actually get some improvement and some change out of that process. But if it's an attack, what happens? Well, the same with all of us. The defensive walls go up. We don't listen very well. We get defensive. We get frustrated. We may get angry. And And then we start to get into an us versus them mentality, which doesn't help anybody, certainly not in teams and organizations. And if you're a leader and you've got a lot of that toxicity in your team, you've got to get it out of your team. And it probably starts with you and how you can best do that. The next thing to think about here is when we're giving feedback to somebody, not only do we want it to be a learning opportunity, not only do we want it to be something that is beneficial to everybody, but we really want to focus in on why we're giving feedback. Because if you're just trying to check a box on your list, that's not a really good place to be. And let me tell you why. Because that amount of effort and commitment means you're probably not going to give very positive or very productive or constructive feedback. So here's what happens if you don't have a culture of constructive feedback. There's low trust among employees and leaders. There's poor performance due to lack of clear guidance. There's stagnation as people miss opportunities to improve. And that's a big one. Think of how many learning opportunities are missed because they don't get feedback, or you didn't get feedback. High turnover, as employees feel unappreciated or unsupported. I can't believe that number of 68% of people who don't get feedback in their organization. I mean, I can believe it, but it's sad. And so if leaders and teams fail to develop a feedback culture that is safe, what I call psychologically safe, it's structured and it's growth oriented, they miss out on one of the most important and valuable drivers of success. And this can work at home just as much as it could work in the office. So let's now jump into the science behind this whole idea of building a culture of constructive feedback. Neuroscience and emotional intelligence will give us insights into why feedback often triggers defensiveness, but also how to overcome that. So first, let's think about the brain threat response. We all know kind of what that fight, flight, freeze thing is, and we've all felt it in different situations. So when we receive feedback, our brain often reacts as if it's under attack. The amygdala, which is responsible for processing threats, can trigger a fight, flight, or freeze kind of response, making it very, very difficult to hear constructive input objectively. None of us like to be criticized. Nobody likes that. So how we deliver feedback is really, really important. And I don't care who you are in an organization. You may be trying to give feedback to your manager or leader or to the CEO, or the CEO may be you and you're giving feedback to boots on the ground employees. The communication clarity here is critical, and the way you say things is critical. There's a whole study of science called conversational science and conversational intelligence. Great book by Judith Glaser on that, by the way, that helps us understand the difference in how we say things and how those things are received. So it's really important in feedback that we stay away from things that are vague, they're negative, or they're unexpected. How does emotional intelligence play in this? Constructive feedback requires high levels of self-awareness, self-regulation, and empathy, both from the giver and the receiver. So we need to be practicing emotional intelligence skills to have a good culture of constructive feedback. And this is why that's another one of my passions, is to infuse emotional intelligence into every person, every team, every organization. Because when emotional intelligence is high in organizations, so are outcomes. Inevitably, there is a direct correlation, and there are dozens of studies that prove this out, whether they're case studies or whether they're actual research studies. So getting that emotional intelligence infused into feedback helps leaders understand how emotions drive behavior, and then they can deliver feedback in a way that's helpful, not harmful. Because isn't that, as a leader, if we're asking someone to change, and by the way, when I do a workshop on feedback, and I've got one coming up here pretty quick with one of my clients, we will talk about a couple of different ways of providing feedback. And feedback is either reinforcing behavior that you want to see continue, or it's redirecting behavior that you would like to see changed. And if we can keep that principle in mind, we're going to have a much better opportunity to provide productive feedback to other people. And we're training other people to do the same for us, which is good, right? So here's what research tells us as far as when people are more receptive to feedback. Number one, they feel psychologically safe. The feedback should never feel like a personal attack. And if you're redirecting someone, do it in confidence. If you're reinforcing, feel free to do that in a group or in a team. Now, the individual may have a personality style that doesn't like public recognition, so take that into account as well. But be very thoughtful about where you're giving the type of feedback that you're giving. Number two, when people are more receptive to feedback, when it's framed around improvement, not failure. A strengths-based approach is much more effective. So if you think about, you really screwed up on that, versus, you know, I noticed when you did this, you did it this way, and I was wondering, are you okay with the outcome there? Were you happy with that? Can you see the difference here? It's one thing to judge someone and criticize, but that's a closed door. It doesn't go anywhere. But the open door is when you're more positive and you use more positive language with people that opens doors by asking good questions, by reframing things in a way that becomes a learning opportunity. Number three, people are more receptive when it's timely and it's specific. General or delayed feedback loses impact. And I've seen this all the time. And number four, when people have control over the next steps, they need to feel like they're empowered to make those changes, which you can see the difference. If you say to somebody, you really screwed up here, you're really in trouble. What do I do with that? If I'm on the receiving end of that, that doesn't give me any direction. It doesn't give me any good positive pathway to start walking down. It's just I freeze because I don't know what to do with that. But if you do it in a different way, I can start to think through, okay, why did I make that choice? Why did I go that way? No, I'm not really all that happy about it. Maybe I could have done this, or hey, do you have any ideas for me? Do you see how it opens conversation versus closes conversation? And that's why I want to shift from a criticism-based feedback culture to a coaching-based constructive feedback culture, where organizations can create environments where learning and growth can thrive. And right now, I can tell you, one of the biggest challenges for organizations is capacity and competence. And you have got to have a growth mindset and a constructive feedback culture to enhance capacity and competence. Okay, let's jump into the solutions here. How can we build a culture of constructive feedback? Well, if we want to transform feedback from something feared to something that's valued, it requires intentional practice. And here's how we do it. Number one, make feedback a normal and expected part of work. Make feedback a normal and expected part of work. Normalize feedback by making it regular conversation, not just a performance review event. Those things are always tense. Number two, encourage peer-to-peer feedback, not just top-down. Everyone should have a voice. Promote feedback as a gift, an opportunity for growth, not punishment. How do we put that into play? Introduce a Feedback Friday, for instance, where teams share one thing that went well and one area for improvement. I like that exercise a lot because it gives everybody something to look forward to, something where they know they can bring something to and talk about it. And here's another idea. Start meetings by asking, what's one thing we can do better next time? Another great practice. All right, the second thing we can do to build that culture of constructive feedback. Train leaders and employees to give and receive feedback well. That's what I do. I train people to give and receive feedback well. Teach leaders how to deliver feedback with clarity, with care, and with effectiveness. Help employees learn how to receive feedback without becoming defensive. Use a structured feedback model to remove emotion from the process. So the one that I use so much is called situation, behavior, impact, or I've also heard it as situation, behavior, result. So what's the situation? Describe when and where the event occurred. What's the behavior part here? Explain what the person did without judgment. This is not about judgment. And then the impact. Share how it affected the team, the project, or the outcomes. So, for example, in yesterday's client meeting, that's the situation, I noticed you interrupted several times. That's the behavior. This made it hard for the client to express their concerns, and they seemed frustrated. That's the impact. I'd love to help you develop stronger listening skills so we can build better client relationships. Do you see how that is a really nice way to redirect somebody? This kind of approach keeps feedback objective and actionable rather than making it personal. Okay, the third big thing we can do to create a culture of constructive feedback is create a safe environment for honest feedback. Psychological safety is essential. People need to know they won't be punished for sharing concerns or suggestions. Leaders must model vulnerability by openly receiving feedback and showing how they act on it. And as a leader, you may need to coach your people on how to give feedback. Again, if you'll ask for that ebook that we're giving away for free, Building a Culture of Constructive Feedback, there are a lot of tips, ideas, and practical exercises to help you build that culture of constructive feedback. So also recognize and reward feedback that leads to positive change. That's the consequences that a lot of times don't happen because we don't think about it. But let's reward feedback that leads to positive change. How do we put this into action? Implement a reverse feedback session where leaders invite their teams to provide constructive feedback on their leadership. So you be the leader, you go first and ask for feedback from other people. Also, have a no blame policy. Focus on fixing the issue, not blame fixing. Blame fixing doesn't do anybody any good. And believe me, I could tell you stories, and I probably already have in earlier podcast episodes, about meetings I've been in where the blame shifting was unbelievable. Nobody wanted to take accountability. That's not where we want to be. It's not where we want our team or our organization to be. The fourth big thing we can do, use feedback to drive action and growth. Feedback is useless if nothing changes. Create accountability by tracking progress. Tracking progress is important. Encourage a growth mindset. Mistakes are learning opportunities, not failures. And I really would like to get the term failure out of people's vocabulary. Because, yeah, do we fail? Sure, we fail. But every mistake, every time things don't go the way we hope they will, we should be able to learn from that. And provide coaching and support to help employees apply feedback effectively. How do we apply this practically? After receiving feedback, here's something you can ask. What is one small step I can take to improve based on the feedback you're giving me? That's a wonderful question, and it fosters dialogue instead of blame or shutting people down. And then follow up regularly. What progress have we made since our last discussion? That's another great question. If you're going to ask that question about, you know, what could we improve on this week? What have you noticed? We need to follow up with questions like, what progress have we made? And then recognize those improvements. Hey, I've noticed you've been listening more in meetings. Great work. And when you're reinforcing like that, feel free to do that in a group setting. So what does this all boil down to? Well, the bottom line, feedback is fuel for success. Building a culture of constructive feedback does not happen overnight, but the rewards are immense. Higher trust, stronger teams, continuous learning, more resilience, and improved performance all stem from how well feedback is integrated into our daily work. By making feedback a normal, safe, and growth-oriented process, organizations unlock higher engagement levels, better communication, and long-term success. Let me leave you with this. Here's some things you can do right now. Implement one of the practical feedback exercises in your team this week. Implement one of the practical feedback exercises in your team this week. Train leaders and employees on how to give and receive feedback effectively. Or foster an environment where feedback leads to learning and not fear. Or do all of the above. And of course, there's many more things in here that you could do. The organizations that thrive aren't the ones that avoid feedback. They are the ones who embrace it, they refine it, and they use it to fuel their success. If you want a more detailed approach, I do suggest you reach out, info, at eqfit.org is an email address. You can ask for that free ebook on building a culture of constructive feedback. I hope you enjoy this new format. We're looking forward to providing real solutions to real challenges in a very focused way. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.